The University Tower Chimes bring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my right, from the Department of English, it's Professor Heather Hill Vasquez.
Hello.
Hello. I see you're keeping your hands warm on this chilly Detroit day with a hot mug of Joe.
Yeah, I mean, what's with the dramatic temperature change?
I've become obsessed with the Google 10-hour like ahead thing where it says tomorrow will be this number of degrees hotter or colder than the previous day. So I look at it and I've got it set up in colors and it has a blue 18 last night and I'm like, what?
I know.
Just crazy.
That's crazy.
That one set the record. I think the record was 20 for that date.
I just, whatever it is, it's brutal. Just absolutely brutal.
Yep. But
we're surviving.
We are surviving.
We're all trying to stay warm, like Professor Dave Chow, who is also man on the run.
I'm glad to be here, but the weather doesn't bother me one bit.
Who has been furtively consuming a green beverage under the
table?
That's
because I've had to. I've been running around like a fiend. I pulled one all-nighter this week already for work, and I've got another one coming up this Sunday, which I'm not looking forward to.
As they say down south, bless your heart.
Oh, I'm such a sucker for it. I'm missing a good corned beef meal at my in-laws.
Because of us?
No, because of work.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
So am I. I know. I picked up 8 pounds of corned beef a couple weeks ago from Wigley's downtown Eastern Market, where they make it right there.
Wow. Wow. Oh.
Yeah. I was about to ask whether it had been corned or not, but apparently it was.
It's good to go, but I won't be there to partake.
Well,
gone it.
Some other time.
There's always leftovers.
You're darn right. Yeah. I'm taking what's left over.
Across the table from me is Professor Jim Tubbs.
Yes, if our listeners could just see the sartorial splendor I'm staring at. Sir Matthew in his jaunty bow tie. Yeah. And
don't
tie
worry, we can do this. Why go on Facebook?
Don't.
There we go.
At least
there
let me
go.
Put on my glasses.
Okay, there we go. This is going on Facebook later.
Now he's got his Harry Potter look in addition.
right. The students actually gave me heck because I started the whole term saying I wasn't going to dress up on Fridays because, you know, biz cash fry. And then they saw me in this today, and they're like, did somebody die?
Oh,
I'm like,
well, terrible.
Probably somebody passed away today, but not because of the...
I don't think you go to funerals with all of those markers in your jacket pocket.
Exactly.
Beg your pardon.
Well, I do bring the laser pointer, because that's
fun. Oh, yeah, laser pointer.
Laser pointer.
You could point at
funeral.
The deceased and make a few comments.
What size shoes are those?
Is a bow tie appropriate wear for a funeral?
It could be.
Well, I thought that it was just the color scheme, because it was black and white and... Again, I started class today by saying, my name is Matt, and I'll be your server
Matt,
this evening.
Matt, if you threw a towel over your left arm right about now, you would.
There you go. No cufflinks, though.
What's the soup of the day?
Point yet. Yes. What's the soup
du jour?
Oh, my
More
gosh.
More bread. Please.
More bread, please. Dan Maggio from the First Organization is laughing at that joke.
You could serve us donuts if you want.
Yeah, that's... Well,
I'll have a cherry donut.
Please. Oh, my gosh. So my 10-year-old's got his big competition this weekend.
Yes.
Yep.
And is he excited?
He's, like, very, very
where
excited
is he going?
For robotics. He's going to Henry Ford II, I think?
Yeah, Sterling Heights.
Okay.
Yeah, I know.
Yep.
Yeah.
What does his robot do? Does it, like, commit mayhem or
well,
something?
Well, Dan could fill us in. The theme this year was hydrodynamics.
It'll move around a 4x8-foot field.
So it squirts water at you?
No, there's no water. Although,
what?
No. And there are different models on the field, and there are certain actions that you have to fulfill in order to score points. Oh. Certain tasks.
Kill
that
all
you
the
do.
Things on the field.
Kill all the things, lift,
and maybe a judge or two.
Gotcha. Okay.
Exactly.
Trigger, no water.
Fun stuff. Well, my 14-year-old did his FTC last weekend, and they're doing another one next weekend, but I understand they came in 30th out of 34 teams, and they still had just the time of their lives. As a matter of fact, because I'm getting used to all this stuff, Dan, he says, we won a trophy because we were a highly motivated team, and they gave us most motivated. And, Dad, there was a jewel at the top of it. And I'm like, there's something I'm not getting about this. And, of course, in
the
world
theme was,
the theme is like hieroglyphics or something like that.
It's, yes.
Archaeology.
Like Indiana Jones?
Yeah, sort of that. But the bottom line is...
If you give me a minute, I will remember the name.
The bottom line is the jewel was a poorly spray-painted wiffle ball. Because that's the best that the robot can manipulate. You know?
Oh, that's nice.
So, yeah,
color?
I mean, it's still cute.
What
it was blue. It was a blue jewel.
So it's a sapphire.
So it's like a bedazzled wiffle ball.
Something like that. Something like that. But it was really cute. And they had just an unbelievable time. One thing's for sure, I don't know, frankly, at this point, what I like better when it comes to my kids. Okay, it's a season of basketball. There's a couple games a week. You got to go to every one of them, be there before, be there after. That competition, Dan, is, how shall I put it, serious.
Yeah, that
is. As in 7 a.m. to 7 p.m.
That is
parents
thirsty.
Have to stick around.
That's long.
So it's long. It's yeah.
Ooh, that's brutal.
Yeah. Tell you what, folks, this is a question. This is not a question at all. It's a program where you can send us questions. So you can ask us about robots or robits if you talk like
or
my five-year-old. Or ocean liners. That's right.
Not
we did
again.
That one. This is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win an autographed photograph of the Ask the Professor panel and the ATP mug. And if you don't stump the panel, you can win a prize too, the autographed photograph. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/ATP or find us on Facebook. We were just finishing some pretty sweet questions from Michelle Horner, our listener in Viva Las Vegas. These were all over the map, if I remember correctly. The last question we had answered was, what is the northernmost Scandinavian country? And after listing every single one of them, we hit Norway.
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
So let's try going here. 404. What is it in Roman numerals? Let's
see. IV is 4.
Is it DC? Or CD?
It would be CDIV.
CDIV is what it says here, yes.
So I can never
use
remember.
The Kendra Evans method.
So CD would be C is
400, right?
Yeah. 400,
D is 5. So
yes. D is 500.
C, right, CD.
So C
minus
before
the,
D would be 400.
I always get confused. C and D stand for.
Mm-hmm. How tall? I suppose you could say long if it was horizontal. How tall is the pole in a caber toss?
19 feet.
You know, I'm giving it to you. It's 19 and a half.
Yeah.
That's off the top of your head there.
I've seen a few caber tosses.
Yeah,
I guess, yeah, the Highland Games.
I have not attempted to throw a caber, but oof. I have seen a few.
Well, actually, on our campus during Geek Week, as far as I know, I still hold the record for the sculpture toss.
What was the sculpture?
Was that legal?
I think you should have an anvil toss with your
No. The anvil's way too heavy. The sculpture was bad enough. The sculpture's like 28 pounds.
Wow.
Wait, I got the record. I threw it like almost over 18 feet.
I was just about to say, was it vertical or horizontal? Because I sort of see you
horizontal.
Throwing
no,
things out a window, too.
No.
Like, oh.
No, those are freshmen.
What was the first European country that banned smoking countrywide?
Switzerland.
Not France.
No, neither of
not
those.
France.
Germany.
No.
Denmark.
Nope.
Austria?
I like Denmark as a
I
choice.
Like Denmark.
Actually, Austria is a choice, too, but that's not it.
So Sweden.
It's one of the Scandinavian.
Not Holland.
No.
It's not Italy.
Not the Netherlands.
So they banned smoking nationwide?
Nationwide.
I don't even know if I know any
Spain?
Countries.
No. I don't think Spain could survive either.
No, I don't think so either.
Well, Luxembourg, Vatican City.
Let's say they have a lot of bucolic countryside that they want to take care of and not let the smoke mingle with it.
Ireland
doesn't
Ireland
have
smoke.
That was the first.
The first.
You
of
can't
the
smoke
Union.
In Ireland?
I was
smoke.
In Ireland 3 months after their ban on smoking in bars occurred. Kathy Bush and I were, in fact. Yeah. And we discovered, we went into this one bar out near the airport. And there were all of these tables sitting around with chairs, people's jackets on the back of chairs, half-empty glasses of beer, but nobody. And then when we went outside, there was a phalanx of people lining the sidewalk all the way out to the parking lot, puffing smoke in our faces as we tried to get out. They had taken their smoke break.
Gosh. There you go. Professor Stephanie Conan from biology has joined us.
Hi.
We're glad to have
you. I'm late.
It's all right.
It is not my week, but I figured
it's awesome
you
that you're here.
Needed.
You are valued.
I had
valued.
A phone call from Heather over here.
That's because we needed a quorum to start.
Yeah, we needed
a
quorum.
Actually, I texted Matt to let him know I was on my
did
way.
You?
You?
Well,
did?
That must be the text that's there.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Just got it.
Shows you how quickly he responds to his text.
What was the destination in the first team-up Bob Hope, Bing Crosby We're on the road
Morocco.
Movie.
Singapore.
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 Yes.
The
Singapore.
Road to Singapore.
Road to Singapore. We need more movies like that.
Absolutely.
In what state would one find Fort Leavenworth?
Kansas.
Kansas.
Is it Kansas? Yeah, absolutely. I just needed to flip the page.
That's a major federal prison. Yeah. Like Alcatraz.
That was almost like Sing Sing back in the day.
Is it Leavenworth? Okay. Let's see here. Just a couple more questions from Michelle Horner of Las Vegas, Nevada. Let's see. What was Mary Poppins' occupation?
Nanny.
She was a nanny.
I thought that was a trick question. No, I thought too hard about that.
She was a brain surgeon. Came in to bother children with her umbrella.
Something that she did before this?
Oh, she was an umbrella salesperson.
Yeah. Chimney sweep. No,
that's Dick Van Dyke.
That's Dick Van Dyke, right?
She was good at it.
Bert. Yeah. Bert. He goes by Bert.
Chimney.
Bert the chimney sweep.
Last one. Which country invented margarine? I could have also asked, I suppose. because no countries really invent things.
Probably the United States.
It wasn't. And if I give you the year, it's going to confuse you even further. 1869 was the first occurrence of margarine.
Wait a minute. Okay, so who would
Canada.
Be...
Canada.
It wasn't France.
Canada's a good guess. It was France.
It can't be France.
I can't believe the French would invent margarine.
How could it be France? Butter.
After all, you could never have too much butter.
Butter.
That's right.
Julia Childs is...
Just brighten it up with more butter.
Yeah, she's probably spinning in her grave at that news.
And so while we think about the spin, we'll take a break.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
I was in a Harmony House yesterday buying a CD, and the clerk, when they took my credit card, asked if I were the guy from Ask the Professor.
Did he give you a discount or a freebie? Or?
But he asked a lot about George.
Were you in Livonia?
No, I wasn't in Livonia.
Mr. Magnet.
Our next set of questions comes from Catherine. Now, this is Leedsma. Is it Leedsma or Ledesma?
I don't know. Grand Rapids?
No, from Crowley, Texas. So,
wow.
I don't know how it's pronounced. I probably mangled it. Anyway. I have finally mustered up the courage and the questions to send to your program.
Good.
I've listened to you for many years and lost you when KHJK changed to K-Earth in Los Angeles. By the time I caught up with you again, Professors George and Sarah had become chairs.
And the rest of us are end tables.
Poor babies.
It's a function of age.
In 1995, I moved from Orange, California to Crowley, Texas. Thank goodness KRRW 97.9 FM has enough class to carry you all.
Hey.
You have helped this 50-year-old blind woman through a difficult adjustment period. Every Sunday night, I hop into bed, put on my earphones, and at midnight, giggle silently under the sheets.
Just don't get caught.
From the neighbors.
Time to get to work. I have chosen some questions on sports, to which I know all or some of you will know the answer.
Oh, no.
This is our
word.
Since I can't tell the difference between an autograph and a photograph, it doesn't matter to me how many you got right or wrong.
We'll dig up a keychain or something. We'll do something.
God, we'll come and move your furniture.
Yes, I just wanted a chance to star on your show. If my answers are wrong, blame Reader's Digest.
We'll send you a couple of chairs.
You come to Detroit, we'll put you on the
show.
How
nice that somebody actually cares about us.
That's wonderful.
And we are back. If you want to send us questions about all sorts of savory spreads, feel free to. Just make sure you have at least five questions about Oleo.
And let's keep them savory as opposed to unsavory.
I'm telling you, that crust brand salted butter that you brought in the crust stuff last time, that stuff is from heaven.
Okay.
That's all I got to say.
All
right. Oh, my gosh.
I'm convinced.
Yes, try it. Try it. Sea salt. Dear panel, it's been forever since I dared to come up with questions for the show. I heard my questions read last year, and I got a thrill. So how could I not come up with more for your fine show? I hope these questions will be challenging and read sometime soon. Thanks for providing such a fun show, Judy Palmer of Dallas, Texas. It's been a while since we heard from you, Judy. Yeah, that's very, very nice. These seem to be, again, a little bit all over the map, but why is that a problem, right? Samuel Clemens, or of course Mark Twain's, middle name?
Does it start with an L?
It does start with an L. Mm-hmm.
Leonard? Lewis?
No. Lee.
I'm sorry. Leonard. Lemuel.
Say Lewis. Say Lewis.
Lewis.
Lawrence. Right. Said them all twice.
It
doesn't make it more right.
Luther.
Lionel.
I'm kind of surprised that you guys don't know this.
Lee.
You said Lunghammer, and it's actually so close. I don't even know what to... Yeah, it's Langhorn was his middle name.
Langhorn. Oh, Samuel God,
Langhorn.
That's right. I've
Clemens.
Heard that before.
Langhorn?
Samuel Langhorn Clemens.
Langhorn.
No wonder he went by Mark Twain.
Yeah, I was going to say, what the heck is a Langhorn? What's
was that his middle name for Mark, too?
I bet that was his mother's maiden name.
Did he have a, did he have a middle name?
It's the second son sort of thing, I think.
Isn't
second
that what
son.
They used to yell on the riverboats? Mark Twain.
Mark Twain, yes.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Not Mark.
Means Mark 2 feet of death.
Yeah. Right. How did the musician Bono of U2 come up with his stage name? Actually, without saying anything, Judy, you've given us a wonderful theme set about names. Okay, now I get it. It wasn't in the opening, and I didn't catch it till question number two.
Bono.
How did the musician Bono of U2 come up with his stage name?
Not like Sonny Bono or anything like that, was it?
I mean,
well, how shall I put this? I remember that the story about how Matt Groening came up with The Simpsons is that he had his pitch but wasted several weeks writing anything down, and then 1 hour before he was going to go in to talk to the producers, he sketched something and said, these are like my family, and then he named them all after members of his own family. So this is something pretty on the sly as Bono was driving somewhere.
Was it his dog's father? Name?
A billboard or something he saw
yes,
on the road?
Yes, something he saw on a billboard. It was a hearing aid brand in Ireland.
Oh, no.
A hearing
Bono
aid?
Bono Vox was the name of the brand. Oh, good
well,
voice.
Oh, and you figure it, you can't yes. smoke. You might as well do something. I mean, so.
Oh, they could smoke back then oh, and
right,
did.
Right, right. Yeah, it was a hearing aid billboard in Dublin.
Okay.
There you go.
Max Power.
Duke Max Power, 100%. Max Power. What a great name. Where did you get it? I got it from my wife's hair dryer.
So great.
It's such a great line. Speaking of The Simpsons, what's the name of the comic book store on The Simpsons?
Droid and Dungeon Shop or something like that.
Wow, very good.
What is it? It's,
very good. Very close.
It's right next to King Toots. I know that.
The Android's Dungeon and Baseball Card Shop.
That's it. Thank you. Yeah. I knew it was something.
It's an agglomeration of lots of different type of
it,
things.
It's bad enough that I remember who's next door, but I can't tell you the
right.
Name.
Which U.S. state has the least rainfall? That has nothing to do with names unless we're asking to name a state.
Arizona.
It's not Arizona.
The snow count?
New Mexico?
It's not New Mexico. So, at least not what it says here.
Nevada?
Nevada is
Nevada.
What it says. Oh. Nevada.
Okay.
That's
all right.
The answer.
Least rainfall.
All right.
But Nevada has mountains, right? Don't people go to Nevada
yeah.
to ski
yeah.
and stuff
yes,
like that?
Yes, it does.
So it must be strictly
but
rainfall.
It's, you know, I mean, Arizona is usually considered the place where there's the most sunshine.
I see.
But when you think about it, no, the upper part, up around Flagstaff and so forth, you've got some higher elevations where it probably
rains.
We
just blame Diane Manica.
Yeah, we'll blame Diane.
Diane.
I was about to say, we're thinking of Diane as we...
we're blaming Diane. It's easier that way.
And every time I call her, it's some kind of glorious weather. No clouds,
never.
Blue sky in the 80s.
Make us
you know,
jealous.
We had a really sunny day today.
We did. And what was it, 26 degrees?
Yes.
My office doesn't have windows.
What? Stephanie.
That's none true. Of our offices have windows.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Do I need to come up
but
with a button?
We will survive a hurricane or a tornado.
That is also true.
We have good bomb shelters over there.
But a gas leak in the building, positive. You probably wouldn't.
No, that's true. There's no ventilation whatsoever.
So you'd be the first to go during a gas leak.
Yeah. Well, it's a science building. Our windows don't open.
Yeah.
And none of the offices have windows.
Mm. Oh, my.
Do I need to come up with buttons for you guys?
But
give us windows?
Give us
no,
windows.
No, no, no.
Yeah. Make life sciences ambient light again.
Give Stephanie a window.
Yeah.
It could be like Les Nessman.
Best
draws rectangles where
yes,
windows will
there
be.
You go. Draw some on the wall.
I could do that for you. Seriously. You want windows?
Please.
Who know the reference.
Not just no windows, but you have your cinder block walls and everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the walls are made of, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's a unique feature of the faculty offices that share a wall as I'm having a meeting with Jacob Kagi a few weeks ago. And completely, as if she's standing right next to me here, Mary Tracy B.
Oh, yeah.
Sneeze, bless her through the wall, and then through the wall, thank you.
Yeah. You can hear everything. Yeah, pretty much.
Very much, yes.
Don't be duped by the cinder block. You can hear everything.
Yes.
My office is right next door to the room where all the music classes are taught. With lots of fairly high volume recordings and videos being played, you know, all during the classes.
Oh,
so, and there's nothing you can do. I mean, it's a cinder block wall, but there's you still can't block out the sound.
Oh my gosh. In what Steven Spielberg movie did Audrey Hepburn star? The year was 1989.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's really? A good piece of trivia.
1941?
No. That's a good
guess. I'm trying to remember what movies he did back then.
In 89?
It starts with the letter A. Okay. And I've never seen this movie.
I was going to say A.T.?
Does that help you?
I just watched Netflix has a new documentary about... No, HBO has a new documentary about Steven Spielberg.
Oh.
It's like 2.5 hours long.
Wow.
But Audrey Hepburn was not mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Steven Spielberg.
I mean, I think I can feel what this movie
was
about
after E.T.
from my days of shelving videos at the Berkeley Public Library, but beyond that... It says here the name of the movie was Always.
No.
I do not remember.
Was that about a pilot?
I want to say it had something to do with flying.
Yes, something to do with flying.
Because the logo was the word always made out of clouds.
Huh.
Yes.
That's all I remember.
I didn't see it, but I can picture it.
I'll never remember what you told them, but always remember the way it made them feel. What floor number is often omitted in Chinese buildings the same way the 13th floor is omitted in Western buildings?
The fourth.
The fourth floor is really unlucky.
Why is four unlucky?
Because four in Chinese sounds like death. It's the same pronunciation.
Yeah, crazy.
So last time I was in Edmonton for my second cousin's wedding, they booked a bank of rooms on the fourth floor. My aunt would not stay in them.
Yeah.
Huh. She insists on moving to a different floor. And we're like, what's going on? That's how I found out.
Interesting.
They will not, older Chinese folks will not stay on the fourth floor of a hotel.
Very interesting.
So I don't have a problem with it.
What was the minimum wage amount set when it was first established in 1938?
It was like 15 cents.
It was a little higher than 15
23,
cents.
25?
38 cents.
It was a quarter an hour.
Yeah, 25.
One quarter an hour.
I can remember when it was 65 cents an hour because I actually earned that at one point.
Legally?
Yes, legally.
What is the nationality of the famed Alfred Nobel?
Norwegian. No, Swedish.
He says he's Swedish.
Yes,
the Swedish chemist, Alfred Nobel.
The inventor of dynamite.
Mm-hmm. Had a little spiel with my students today because someone had brought up Nobel Prizes recently. And so you appreciate this, Stephanie, that someone had, not one of my students, but someone on the internet had made a data set that showed total percentage of Nobel Prize winners by year who are female.
Mm-hmm.
And so in physics, there's only been two winners ever. And so the first time Marie Curie wins, it goes up, shoots up to 12%,
right.
And it slips right back down to zero.
Right.
It's just very, very sad.
Yeah.
Very sad.
Well, Nobel, many people think it's rather ironic that the Peace Prize is the best known from the inventor of dynamite. But he really thought that that would help end war.
Yeah, he did.
He thought it would make war so awful, as did the inventor of the machine gun.
That is right. That is right. If you want peace, prepare for war. What U.S. president had the nickname the Little Magician? I've never heard this before. Not one of the modern era.
The Little Magician.
It sort of fits.
Who's the shortest president?
I think this is close to who that person is supposed to be.
Madison?
Mm-mm. Madison probably was the shortest, but I think of the giant mutton chops that this guy had.
Chester
Van
Arthur?
No, that's a good guess. Oh. Wait, did you? What
Van
did you?
Buren?
Yeah, it was Martin
Van
Buren.
Yeah, he's the guy that gave us OK for Old Kinderhook.
Right. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Okay.
I keep thinking about the Seinfeld reference, the Van Buren boys, right? If you flash the right sign, they won't beat you up. Oh, my gosh. I'm glad you're laughing, Heather. What was the original name of TV Guide?
Radio Guide.
The radio?
It's now called YouTube Guide. No.
The Singing Wire Guide.
It had TV in its name.
TV Listings?
Getting closer.
TV Weekly.
TV Digest.
TV Digest.
Sort of like Reader's Digest. Oh, see, Reader's Digest would have been a good joke because it started with books.
Were they like together
and
then
they
broke up? It
sounds like a listing of all the soap
opera plots. TV got its own guide and Reader's Digest kept the readers.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
All the TV watchers went the other direction. To watch their flickering black and white screens.
Not surprisingly, the first U.S. state to ratify the 13th Amendment, which abolished slavery in the United States of America, was...
Ireland. Oh.
New York.
No.
Was it one of the original 13?
Nope.
Oh.
Vermont. Oh.
Nope.
Illinois.
The great state of Illinois.
Oh, okay.
Home to, one of the many homes of Abraham Lincoln. In what sport would you perform? Ooh, my. In what sport do you perform an Adolf?
This is some curling thing, is it, Dan?
No.
Oh, is it wrestling?
It's not wrestling.
Figure skating. Your favorite, Matt?
No. Oh. No, not figure skating and not my
ice
favorite.
That's ice
dancing. Oh, I'm
shooting?
It's not shooting.
Synchronized co-ed swimming.
I want to say that this is an Olympic sport, but we don't see it much on TV, but maybe it's not an Olympic sport.
Badminton.
Not badminton. That's good, though. That's good, because badminton is an Olympic sport.
Archery.
Is something in the pentathlon?
No.
The luge.
I'm trying to think of the right way to explain.
Is it an individual sport or a team sport?
I don't watch people play this sport.
Greco-Roman wrestling?
Except for maybe when I'm watching like America's Funniest Home Videos.
What?
Mm. There's no way I'm going to be able to give a good
touch football.
You know, it says here it's trampoline.
Oh.
It's a forward flip with 3.5 twists as an Adolf.
Named after...
Some gymnast, I bet.
And it's time for us to say goodbye, Professor Maggio.
I'll have an Adolf with cheese.
Professor Tubbs.
I'll have an Adolf with relish.
Professor Conant.
Bye, I don't get the joke.
Professor Chow.
See ya.
Professor Hill Vasquez.
Just a plain Adolf.
And now, these words.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
Get those bells. Yes. The University of Detroit Mercy presents Ask the Professor on location. It's our annual picnic show, and this year we have come to Chillicothe, Ohio, at the grand opening of the academic theme park.
Don't get cotton candy on the mic, okay?
That's right. Oh. It's the first academic theme park in North America, and I have with me today, that came all the way down from Detroit, we have George Pickering.
Sure. Pleasure to be here, giving away degrees.
That's right.
Step right up, get your degree.
George is very attracted to this thing over across from us called the Diploma Mill.
Oh, which, I love it.
Strolling along beside George is Kathy Bush.
Hello.
And this is the place, though, this Diploma Mill. You can have hot dogs with vice presidents. You can buy a degree or two. Anything your heart desires, academically.
Well, you can win it at games, too.
And you can do that. You can do that. We're passing the casino. Let's take a look at the casino.
You can win so many student credit hours and profit points in there. It's unbelievable.
Are these life experience credits?
Oh, absolutely. It is a life experience.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Sometimes it seems like a life sentence, you know, but it's really a life experience.
This is really fascinating.
Step right up, spin the wheel, come out with 32 hours in religious studies. Here you are.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu, tweet to us on Twitter @AskTheProfessor, or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM. Or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies and the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor today is produced and directed by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.